Hello and welcome to another episode of the RevVR podcast. I am your host, Reverend Kyle. We've got a lot of fun stuff going on this year. 2017 is turning out to be, I don't want to say the year of VR because 2016 kind of already was, but we definitely have a continuation of momentum going, and we want to keep it going as long and as hard as we possibly can. And so what do we need to talk about next? Well, there's a couple shows coming up. Everybody knows I've been talking about SVVR, but then what's next? What's after SVVR? Because there's so many different groups now, especially here on the West Coast. We've got SVVR and SFVR, and we've got, you know, a lot of things going on down in California. We've got VRLA is on its way. And I'll tell you what, folks, I've been to this show several times, and it is one of my favorites. And so I have brought on, and I have to give everybody this information, I don't even think he knows yet, is that officially as of this episode, my guest will have been the most frequent guest I've had on my show. So,
oh my God.
Here he is yet again from VRLA and many other things. Everybody's good friend, Mr. Cosmo Scharf. Cosmo, how you doing, buddy?
Hello. I'm doing really well. That's exciting news to hear. It's really great to be talking with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, you and I have known each other since I feel like you were in diapers. I know that's not true, but
exactly correct.
Yeah. I can remember back in the day having you on for the first time, and just the amount of enthusiasm spewing from your brain about VR and how exciting it was. You know, let's give everybody a quick little recap of how you got started with VRLA so that, you know, there's new listeners, so they might want to know this story.
Yeah, right. Back in the day, just, you know, 3 long years ago.
Wow.
I read someone's blog post about their reaction to the Valve prototype. Was really excited about that, and you know, started getting more into the VR community on Reddit and found your podcast and was listening to your podcast one night, and you were like, "Hey, you should start a meetup in your city if there isn't one." So I looked online and there wasn't, and started one a few days later with a bunch of other folks, and it's been a really crazy journey so far to kind of be a part of this industry and watch it grow and help it grow from the inside, and really meet some incredible people. The community is really very positive, and we're really doing everything we can at VRLA to continue that and show people what's possible with this technology.
Yeah, Los Angeles is one of the hubs of VR, in my opinion. I think a lot of people will agree with that. That, you know, there's certain areas. There's obviously Seattle, my hometown now, which is what I call the heart of VR. And then you've got these other major hubs. So you've got one in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, San Jose, San Francisco. But then you've got just a little further south, Los Angeles, and along with that comes Hollywood, and there is just a lot of ideas and momentum happening in that area. And VRLA, I think, has been a catalyst for bringing together a lot of these people. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think so. You know, it's interesting to think about that from the sort of organizer perspective, because we don't often you know exactly what it's like to be an attendee, but certainly, you know, I hear those stories of people getting hired and people meeting each other for the first time. And, you know, you spend so much time planning these events, you know, months and months of our lives, with pretty intensely focused on making it as awesome as possible. And then you get there the day of the show and it's like a few days long, and you start to realize, like, you know, all these people coming around from around the world, from different countries, How you know they each one of them has a different story of why they're here and what their experience is like and sort of what they get out of it. And it's a really special thing to know that you know we've had some kind of impact on shaping the industry and really primarily giving people a platform to showcase their new hardware, software, really talk about new ideas. And really, this year, what we're excited about is we have this pretty massive indie zone where we give out free tables to independent VR and AR developers. And I think there's something like over 60 different exhibitors in that section now. So, VRLA is not just a place for the kind of large tech companies to kind of show what's new. I mean, that's great as well, and we're really excited about that too. But we really want to, be a level playing field for everyone.
Yeah, that's really smart too, because I think sometimes, and I'm not speaking for anybody in particular or everybody at all, there are some times where the indie developers feel not so loved because the AAA companies come in, they scoop up all the exclusives or, they get the money, and these indie developers are, they're starving artists is what they are. And kudos to you and the other folks who, lend that hand that, here's something for the indie developers, show your stuff. Your stuff is just as valuable as some of this AAA content.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important for us to recognize the work of everyone in this industry, no matter how big or small you are. And that's also part of the reason why we have the student ticket, because I was a student and not everyone could have at one point could afford to go to these several hundred dollar conferences, right, that are put them in a very sort of exclusive place. So accessibility for us is also really important to bring VR to a wider market of people that aren't necessarily, exclusively just within this kind of smaller crowd.
Right. Yeah. I remember, I don't remember which one it was. I was at VRLA, one of them. I think it was last year. And because you guys do two a year, right? One in the summer, one in the winter?
Yeah, we do. We're looking at just doing one a year to really focus on making it as big and awesome as possible. Or, this next one is, we're going to have over 150 something exhibitors and sponsors, probably more than that. The amount of expo space that we have is like nearly 150,000 square feet. So,
wow.
It's a lot of space to fill. We're constantly, increasing the scope of it. We're going to have tons of lasers. That's always the best part. And, lots of other stuff like, Justin Roiland is speaking, the, co-creator of Rick and Morty, which is really exciting because that's, one of my favorite TV shows. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites too. I just can't stand waiting for the next season. It's been killing me. But, I want, one of the things that I did at a previous VRLA is, you get there and like you said, it's multi-day and, you get that early expo pass and you go in there and, press and other VIPs get to go in and play around first. And, you get the vibe of, okay, here's like, this is the industry. But then you've got the next day, this like line of people and this, like, I remember the first day I was like, wow, this is a really great conference. The next day I come in, I'm like, what is this line of people doing here? It was everybody else. And I'll tell you what, man, when that line goes into the expo, and I mean, we're talking about, this is at the Los Angeles Convention Center. And it's not a small venue, folks. If you've never been there, it's freaking huge. And to see this long line of people wrap around the hallway and down the street and around the road, and then they all pile in, and along with that and the lasers and there's fog machines, this isn't an expo. This is a rock concert. This is a celebration of VR. That's how cool this thing is.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, certainly, like, we're definitely, trying to jazz it up and make it something that's really exciting and stimulating, you know, and bringing, you know, stuff to the show that goes beyond just your sort of regular, you know, Vive or Oculus Rift demo, where, you know, we have things like we're doing this like visionary art zone, which should be really cool. We're doing, you know, 3D Live is bringing this multiplayer mixed reality game where you're driving a sort of ATV that's like a motion simulator. That should be really cool. Let's see. Positron is bringing these motion chairs, like all networked together to create a sort of movie theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and there's some other announcements from HP, NVIDIA, HTC, and Mindshow, of course.
Mindshow? What could Mindshow be? Why don't you tell us a little bit about Mindshow, Cosmo?
Yeah, sure. So Mindshow's one of the other companies I co-founded along with Johnny and Adam, who are also co-founders of VRLA, and a few other folks, of course. And we are building software that lets you create animated movies with your body and voice, and you can essentially become different cartoon characters and act out a scene. So you look down and your hands are their hands and your body is their body, and you can walk around, you can talk, you can dance, you can sing, you can really do whatever you'd like and create a scene by acting out all the different parts. And when you're done, you can share what you make with friends in VR and on social media as a 2D video. And this is coming soon for the HTC Vive.
It sounds like, and I can't wait to get my hands on Mindshow personally, because it sounds to me like somebody like me could have a heck of a lot of fun making content using Mindshow and being able to, you know, write out a quick script and then record it, not only in VR, but also in 2D, and then pump it out for the world to experience and enjoy. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, thank you. Me too. we have a small, you know, group of alpha people testing it out right now. And, you know, some of the things that they're making is really just exciting to, you know, really see what's possible and get their feedback. And we're really just at the very beginning of like what you can make with this thing. I remember for the longest time we were trying to, you know, first raise money for the company, and then ultimately we did that and hired a bunch of people, and then, you know, trying to get to that spot where you could actually jump in there and create a finished piece of content. And, you know, now we're at that point where we're really kind of refining and polishing and making it really fluid and fast. And, you know, for us, it's really exciting because, you know, coming from a filmmaking, background, as most of, you know, my other co-founders are, you know, we just want to be creative in virtual reality. We want to be able to, you know, tell a story. And it's not just us, though, really. I think there's a larger group of people that, you know, don't necessarily view themselves as filmmakers or, you know, animators, but I think they'd be interested in using this too, in the same sense that, you know, Instagram created an entirely new generation of photographers and YouTube created an entirely new generation of filmmakers. I think that we're going to, you know, the market for, you know, 3D animated content is going to change dramatically with something like Mindshow and some of these other creation tools available for VR.
Yeah, there's not just, you know, Mindshow is definitely, you know, for that specific type of content creation is wonderful. We've also got things like Tilt Brush and Quill and, you know, Medium. If you're an artist, VR loves you and has all sorts of fun stuff for you to play with.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting to see these new art forms emerging so quickly. I mean, if you think about, the sort of modern era of virtual reality has only been around for, with these headsets a year, but if you count all the dev kits, maybe 3 years or so, or 4 years or so. And we have the kind of first and second generation content creation applications available pretty quickly, and especially with things like Tilbrush, people are really skilled with it, and it's something that really never existed before. This concept of being able to, walk inside of a three-dimensional painting. So I think we're really just at the tip of kind of the iceberg of what's possible, what it means to be creative in this new space, and yeah. I think there's just a lot more opportunity for artists now, and really kind of and not just artists, but really I would say it's redefining who gets to be an artist. That it's not just, for people that went to school for it anymore.
Yeah, I get a huge kick out of watching people, here in Seattle at our last VR meetup, which we do monthly, we did all of the art stuff. So it was just all VR art stuff. And so I'm watching these people get in to Tilbrush and Quill and Medium, things like that. And they are creating art that it is blowing my mind. I mean, and I've watched people do it live. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen at some of these like mixers and parties and stuff, they'll have it set up and there'll be people up there with Tilbrush and they'll just be...
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, I saw, that reminds me, I went to this VR Scout party a few months ago, and they had this guy on stage who was in Tilbrush, but there's music, and so he was dancing, and he was using the movement, the sort of teleport or the movement feature to kind of explore this Tilbrush creation that he had done, but he was like dancing at the same time, like to the beat. And it was like this bizarre new kind of art form that I've never seen before, where it was like this mixture of like dance, music, and three-dimensional painting. And, but his painting was more of like a world. Like it wasn't just like a single thing. Like he was moving through this entire, all these different rooms with all these different characters inside of it, and really just opened my mind to the sort of, the possibilities of what you can do with things like Tilbrush and ultimately, I think, Mindshow and all these other apps.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing, people say all the time, well, nothing new can be, invented, that all the good stuff, all the good ideas have already been made. And I call BS on that, because I think I have seen things come out of the VR community that I say to myself, and I say this all, I'm like, I've never seen anything like that before. That's new. That's a new thing that exists just because VR exists.
Yeah, well, I sort of agreed to a point where it's like, the things that are new are sort of reconstructions of things that have already existed. Like in the same way that the iPhone in and of itself was like was a revolutionary idea, but it was putting together all these technologies that existed separately. Right. And so with like Mindshow, for example, like the whole concept of like being able to create an animated, piece of content from within VR end to end is a new thing that's never really existed before. But the kind of the elements of it have existed in pieces before it, right? Like motion capture and real time game engines,
right?
And being able to record your voice and all that.
Well, and that's kind of how, if you think about it, that's what Palmer did. Well, unless you're ZeniMax. Palmer took a bunch of technology that already existed. It just didn't exist in that form together with those components. It wasn't new, but it definitely was revolutionary.
Yeah. What do you make of, the whole, what's going on with Oculus right now?
I am cautiously optimistic that everything will be okay. Most of my dedicated listeners know that I have a tendency to favor Oculus over HTC, and that's just because of the convenience and portability of the Rift. I have, in my work world, we take things on site and we go and we set up VR with a laptop, and doing that with the Lighthouse controllers is a major pain in the Lighthouse boxes. And so with the Rift, it's just a camera. It's ready to rock. Right. Yeah, it's that's my preference. But don't get me wrong. I have my 5. It is right here. I have my Lighthouse boxes are permanently stationed in my VR dungeon here, and they are on all the time. The little whirl keeps me awake. Yeah, and you know, it's a wonderful thing to know that I have the option to do both, or either. I know not everybody could afford to do that. I can, and I use both of them equally for entertainment purposes. It's just at work we happen to use the Rift, so that's, you know, yeah. But in terms of where they're heading, you know, I'm excited to see what their next iterations are going to be. I'm also excited to see what, you know, Valve pumps out as well, you know, and I think there's going to be more players in the game in the next 365 days. So we'll see how everybody turns out. But I can't help but remember how this all got started and how I got sucked into it. And I owe a lot of that to Palmer and Oculus and the guys there and the girls.
Yeah,
there.
It's interesting. It's almost easy to forget where, you know, this all came from with that DK1 and
right.
Really ignited everyone's imagination about virtual reality. And then, you know, now there's so many other headsets, the PSVR, the Vive, now this new LG thing, stuff from, you know, Asus and all these other, you know, large companies. So it's like, oh yeah, like, okay, now everyone's doing VR. But like, the only reason they're doing that is because, you know, Oculus existed and then Facebook bought them.
Right. Right. But, that was the catalyst that got this industry kicking, you know, and whether or not they're still here a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, they're still responsible for starting this back up again.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm confident that, that they have something interesting that they're working on. You know, whatever next gen mobile or desktop VR they have, but it'll certainly be interesting to see, you know, how the different sort of philosophies towards tracking will play out over the next few years. Where you have, you know, the Lighthouse, which works really, really well today, and you know the optical solutions with the Rift are. Maybe not as accurate, but still decent. And then when you start thinking about, like, you know, what will be necessary for AR, like, you're not going to be able to install lighthouses everywhere, right? Like, you're going to want all of it, you know, from the outside in tracking, right? Or inside out tracking, inside out. Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, eventually it'll just become commonplace. It'll work all over. I mean, you know, world scale or world space VR is not as big of a pipe dream as some people think, you know, with the addition of inside out tracking. I mean, just look at what Microsoft has done with HoloLens and what they're doing with these other, you know, VR headsets. The technology exists, and, you know, Google's got Tango and all these other, you know.
Yeah,
it will happen. It's just a matter of how long it'll take and, you know, how many iterations it'll take and what the cost will be. I mean, this is a locomotive like steaming across the country. It's not stopping.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm really anxious and excited to see what Apple is working on. I know Tim Cook has been pointing towards AR for, you know, this past, you know, year, and they don't typically do that unless they're ready to announce something. So,
do you think they're going to put? What do you think they're going to give us?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm a kind of addicted to Robert Scoble's rumors, and very much, I would really like to believe in them. Essentially, he thinks that the next iPhone is going to be a clear piece of glass with an OLED screen inside of it that has the 3D depth sensor developed from PrimeSense that essentially is a Project Tango for the iPhone that can also turn any surface, like your desk or a wall or something else, into a touchscreen. And so you can project interfaces onto anything that you're looking at. And then it would wirelessly connect to a pair of AR glasses that have the same sensor on it. So you could put your phone inside your pocket and use it essentially as like a physical surface when you don't have anything available to touch. But it would also connect to the AirPods for the speakers and the microphone. And let's see, it would have wireless charging and all that. But I think the major thing is just like being able to have a 3D holograms in your room and in the world is going to be very compelling and might come sooner than we all expect it to.
Do you really think, I mean, let's think about this for just a moment, Cosmo. You're a smart guy.
Yeah.
Do you really think that that's what the next iPod or iPad or iPhone, the iDevice, whatever they're going to be, do you think it's really going to be that? I mean, a clear phone, set of goggles.
I don't know what I really think at all. I mean, I would like to believe it's that. I know that there's rumors that, you know, so they're going to have like basically whatever the kind of iPhone 7S and like the kind of next gen version of whatever the iPhone 7 is, and then an entirely new kind of device that's way more expensive, which I expect to be the AR type see-through iPhone.
Man, I can't see it. I just, you know, and I read everything that everybody says about it. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be playing. I've been playing with a HoloLens for quite a while now. And I see that technology. I've tried Meta and I've tried Epson, Mavaria. I've tried all these headsets. What I hear people saying is going to be in the iPhone 8 or whatever with this AR capabilities, I find it very hard to swallow. It's easy to imagine because you people have been talking about completely clear iPhones for 7 or 8 years. I mean, you can go since the dawn of the iPhone, there's been pictures on the internet floating around. Look at clear ones next. Yeah, that's fine. I don't know if I can see the value in a clear phone.
It's about the ecosystem of how it operates with the glasses and potentially the Apple Watch.
Well, I guess all 7 of those people who actually use their Apple Watch will be happy about that. I didn't say how many people bought it. I said how many people use it.
I think I definitely don't have any inside information. This is just like all kind of speculation, but I think it certainly sounds far-fetched, but if I was to describe like the original iPhone to you before they announced it, you would have been like, that's impossible.
See, all right. Well, I'm not going to dig too far into this because you'll have to read the book that I'm writing to dig into this. Cause I dig into this pretty hardcore. I'm writing a book. It's an autobiography, but it's told from the perspective of all the technology in my life. So I don't tell every story. I only tell stories that have to do with significant pieces of technology in my life. And it's an interesting spin. It's something I've not seen done before. But one of the things that I talk about, just a brief, you know, part of one of the chapters is, I used to walk around with what they called a pocket PC. I had a device that ran an iteration of Windows Mobile for pocket PC. It had Wi-Fi and it had a color screen and it had a modem. It had all sorts of fun stuff. And so when the iPhone came out, for me, it wasn't for me, I was saying, oh, finally, finally, somebody decided to put all these things together into one. So I understand what you're saying. Most people were probably like, wow, this is amazing. But for me, I was just like, good, it's about time somebody did this.
Well, you're just living in the future.
I you know, and I try to. You know, that's why I consider myself to be a futurist. You know, I anticipate these things. I know what I want, and then it ends up happening later. So I don't get me wrong, and all the people who are going, oh, he's just an Apple hater, ignore that. If they do come out with this amazing, awesome device, good. That's good. I'm excited because it'll be revolutionary. It'll break ground and people mimic it and then it'll be commonplace. But I don't know. I have to see it. I'm not a believer.
You know what? You don't have to be.
That's right. That's right. Time will tell. The proof is in the pudding. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just more thinking about sort of like what that kind of device could mean if like millions of people have it, right? So, you know, if you think about like lots of people walking around with these 3D sensors on their face or, you know, in their pocket, and the AI, you know, attached, you know, associated with it, you could essentially create a mirror world of the physical Earth and represent all of the different, you know, places that you go to in your life inside a digital space, and then be able to connect to it through VR and AR as a sort of like platform, kind of like Google Earth VR, where it's dynamically updating all the different parts of your city or hometown or stores or really whatever you can think of in real time.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds wonderful. I hope we get to that point. You know, and if that happens as a result of an Apple device, then so be it. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, you know, we don't have much longer to wait, right? It's going to come out before the end of the year. Is that
hopefully? We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of. I mean, how do you put a case on a completely clear phone? How do you take a selfie?
I think you're thinking too hard about it.
All right. Well, I'll just let the magicians and the wizards just create their device, and I'll just wait for it to come out.
Me too.
So, hey, at VRLA, am I going to run into any cool Hollywood bigwigs?
You're going to run into all of the celebrities that have ever existed. If you come to VRLA,
they're all going to be there all at one time.
All at once in the center of the show floor. And it's actually just going to be exclusively celebrities.
And me and you and the person who's listening to this, that's going, hot damn, I'm getting a ticket right now.
Yeah. No, you know, I'm sure there will be those kind of people, but it's not like I know exactly who they are in advance. I mean, there certainly have some interesting people follow us on Twitter, but not all of them actually come to the show necessarily.
In previous shows, I have run into a handful of celebrities, and it's been fun. And the common thread is that it doesn't matter that they're, you know, famous movie stars or TV personalities or whatever. They love VR just as much as we do, and they want to see it thrive, and they want to see it expand, and they want to see it change the way we do things. And it's really cool to see these people who we, you know, who entertain us, who we, you know, maybe, you know, we think highly of them or covet their lives or whatever. They're just like us. They're enthusiasts about this new technology, and that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons for anyone to be excited, regardless of who they are.
Yeah. So what do you think is the total number? I think you hit. It was over 1,000 people at your last one.
Yeah, we had about 6,000 people at the last show. So we're definitely gonna have
6,000. Whoa.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot more than that this time.
All right, man. That's gonna be a lot of people.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So,
well, hope everyone comes.
Yeah, I hope everybody comes too. I'm planning on coming. I've got one thing that I have to work on to make sure that it's out of my hair, and then I'll be able to come. So at the very least, come to see me and come hang out with me and Cosmo.
Well, Both of us.
Yeah, and we'll go hang out with Justin Roiland. You know, we'll hang out, we'll do our worst impressions of Rick and Morty, and then listen to him make fun of us. And
Now
you did a pretty killer talk at the last one I was at.
Thank you.
You were blowing my mind, man.
I aim to.
Yeah, that had to have taken you a while to write. Let me tell you, that was.
It takes me a month or two to kind of figure out what I actually want to talk about, and then, I sort of refine exactly what it is over the weeks before VRLA, and then memorize. Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of time to prep, but it's a good opportunity to kind of focus on what's important and what I think people are interested in and want to hear about and present new information and new ideas related to VR.
Yeah, between you and Johnny, I've heard both of you just say some of the greatest things. I guess it would be terrible for us not to mention the Proto Awards.
Yeah, those are awesome as well.
You guys are responsible for that. And I have been honored and blessed and excited to be part of the judging panel for that every year that it's been running. And I've attended every single one. And just, you know, listening to you talk and Johnny talk and the enthusiasm of all the people there as well. I mean, Cosmo, is there anything in your life that you do that doesn't incite like some level of inspiration?
No.
See, I'm, there you go. I knew
constantly
it.
Firing.
I knew it. That's what it's all about. So what else are you excited about, man? I mean, what else do we have on the table here?
All of work is exciting, but I mean, just in general, like outside of work, I'm always, trying to learn as much as possible. There's really no end to how much you can learn. So just like realizing that is exciting. And I'm really into some interesting, conspiracy theories about aliens and UFOs and all that. So that's been doing some research on that recently. So a lot of weird information out there. I never knew how many crazy ideas are on the internet.
Oh man, Cosmo, one of these days I'll sit you down and I'll tell you my abduction story.
Oh, please.
Yeah. So that's not intended for the podcast, but, I'll tell you my close encounter story. It's pretty crazy. It happened to be in high school. I was up at Chaminade Julienne, which is a school up near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Uh-huh.
And, well, I'll just leave it at that, but let's put it this way. I saw something that was not human. Yeah. So, yeah, but we'll leave that for another time.
Exciting.
Yeah. So Cosmo, when is VRLA exactly? What are the dates?
It's April 14th and 15th, about a month from now, or whenever this goes online.
Sure. Right. We're recording this on March 13th. So, April, isn't that the weekend right before Easter?
It is Easter weekend.
It is Easter weekend. So that's going to be a pretty good Friday then.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. That's awesome. Is the Easter Bunny going to be there? Somebody should do
Easter Bunny. Bunny of sorts.
Okay.
Specifically the Nestle Bunny.
Ah, that's right. You guys always have Nestle as like are they like a sponsor or?
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing. I'm walking around VRLA last time. All of a sudden this woman comes up and she's like, "You want some chocolate milk?" I'm like, "What?" She's like, "Yeah, look, I got a whole bucket full of chocolate milk." It's like, this is the coolest thing ever. I had like 12 chocolate milks that day. That was awesome.
Yeah, I had more than my fair share. The first few were good, and then I was like, "Oh God, this is, I don't know," but I'm happy they were there.
Oh, too much dairy. Yeah, that's awesome. So, if people want to know how to get to VRLA, how do I buy my tickets?
Yeah.
Where can I get more information?
You can learn more at virtualrealityla.com, and there's tons of information about exhibitors, sponsors, all of our different panels and presentations on there. And then also, if you're interested about learning more about Mindshow, you can go to mindshow.com and sign up for Alpha.
When do you think it's going to be out for public consumption?
We haven't announced a release date yet, so I can't comment on that, unfortunately.
Okay. No, hey, that's cool. Yeah. Anticipation, man. It's what all this is about, you know. People keep announcing things and, you know, say, oh, it's coming soon to a headset near you. And
it is coming soon.
That's awesome. That is totally awesome. Cosmo, what are you going to do, man? I mean, you're just going to be like the LA VR guy. When they do the list of all the cool people in LA in VR, it's just a picture of you.
Probably. No, that's not true. There's tons of – the only reason we've been able to kind of be as successful as we have is really because of, you know, all of the other people that are working on VRLA and Mindshow with me. Like, it's honestly kind of crazy how much time and energy both of our teams have put into making these things possible. So I'm really just grateful to be able to work with such awesome people and passionate people, and it's all great.
Yeah, your teams are wonderful. I mean, every time I've interacted with everybody, it's just passion. You guys run on 100% passion. And that's
really, I mean, cool. What else do you have, especially in this space, right? Like, if you're not excited and interested about what you're doing, then why waste your time?
Exactly. Well, Cosmo, I'll tell you what, man, another podcast in the bucket. I'll have to check this one off and, put it in the list of the Cosmo archives. Cause you and I have just, you know, we've done it numerous times, and I look forward to doing it much, much more. I mean, I can only imagine what the rest of this year is going to bring, what next year will bring.
There's definitely going to be a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you are, as I say to a lot of my guests, notice I didn't say all, welcome back as many times as you want, as much as you want. I'm always looking forward to talk to passionate people about VR, so...
Awesome.
Yeah. Thanks, Cosmo. I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
All right, man. Thank you. And then thank all of you very much for listening. This podcast is a production of Rev VR Studios. Music provided by Jesse Spillane. Comments and views expressed on the Rev VR podcast are the sole opinions of Reverend Kyle or his guests. For more information, visit RevVRStudios.com.